Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
So just over a week ago, I was reading an IOL article that extensively quoted Professor Francois Engelbrecht, Professor of Climatology at the Global Change Institute at WITS. And I thought, you know what? This man seems to know his stuff. There's talk of frontal systems moving 200 kilometers south of where they usually track. Let's speak to the man himself and find out what is going on. Professor Engelbrecht, thank you for talking to me here on 101.9 Chai FM.
Good afternoon, Simon. Thanks so much for the invitation. Much appreciated.
So, Prof, it was kind of sobering to read the frontal systems are moving south. It's measurable. It's scientific. This is not something that one can make up. Is this in fact happening? Are cold fronts missing southern Africa?
Yes, this is one of the best documented signs of climate change that can already be detected in the southern hemisphere. So I think we all know that the world is getting warmer. The best estimate now is that global warming has reached a value of 1.1 degrees Celsius. Close to that, the dangerous threshold of 1.5 degrees Celsius that the Paris Agreement on climate change is trying to protect us against. But across the world, we can also see many other so-called fingerprints of climate change. For example, sea level rise and a very high rate of glacier melt, and the Greenland ice sheet is, of course, melting away faster than ever before. But then also in many parts of the world, we can detect systematic changes in circulation patterns, so in weather systems and how they behave, and then consequently also in terms of changes in regional temperatures and rain and regional rainfall patterns. Now, in the southern hemisphere, what we've been seeing is, as the world has been getting warmer over the last five decades in particular, the frontal systems that bring winter rainfall to southern Africa and also to southeast and southwest Australia and to the southern tip of South America, and this entire circulation regime of the southern hemisphere is gradually shifting towards the South Pole. So the warmer it becomes, the more difficult it's getting for these frontal systems to reach us here much further to the north. And that is one of the most important reasons why we have been experiencing this increase in periods of drought along the Cape South Coast, the Eastern Cape, the Western Cape. The Cape Town drought is a very good example of the effect that this polar displacements of the cold fronts are having on our own country.
And the skeptics, Prof, who turn around and say, but hold on a minute, look at the kind of cold fronts that we've been having. There's pictures of frozen swimming pools in Johannesburg. There are large mountain ranges in the Southern Cape and KZN covered in snow. Is that the exception rather than the rule these days?
Well, it was, of course, not an exception 50 years ago. That was normal winter weather. And we should, of course, always distinguish between systematic changes in climate and the day-to-day weather. So climate change is not saying that we will never have a cold winter again or that we are never going to get any frontal rain again. Climate change science is just telling us that the frequency of winters that are dry, that frequency has been systematically increasing over the last five decades. And the number of winters that are cold and that are also usually associated with good falls of rain in specifically the winter rainfall region in the southwestern Cape, that type of winter is occurring less and less frequently. And that effect then extends into the interior. So we can see very systematic decreases, for example, in the number of days with frost across the South African interior. So this current winter is, of course, a colder one. We haven't seen such a cold winter with this number of cold fronts that reached us deep into the interior for several years. But statistically, it's very clear that this type of winter is becoming the exception and will increasingly become the exception for as long as the world continues to warm.
So you say this is a direct result of the increase in temperature and global warming. Even if we were to stop or even reverse the warming, would these frontal systems revert to where they once were, or is this now a permanent change?
That is a very important question for South Africa. And there's a small chance that these systems may get back some of their northward extent. And that has to do with the fact that the sudden displacement is the result of global warming and the stronger greenhouse effect, as I've explained. But there's a secondary effect that played a role in this sudden displacement of the cold fronts, namely the process of ozone depletion that many listeners will know about. So surprisingly, the depletion of ozone in the stratosphere above Antarctica has also contributed to this poleward displacement of the cold fronts. And as some listeners may know, the ozone layer is gradually recovering thanks to the Montreal Protocol. And the ozone that is recovering may help for these frontal systems to get back some of their northward trajectories on the condition that the world doesn't warm much more. So in a future world where we can stabilize global warming at about 1.5 degrees Celsius, we will see a bit of recovery in terms of the northward track of these cold fronts.
Absolutely fascinating, Prof.
But if, on the stronger global warming, that will not happen, unfortunately, even with the ozone hole recovery.
Is anybody listening to you? Are you talking to government? And another question related, have you quantified the effect potentially on the South African economy?
Simon, yes, I think messaging is not the main problem for the lack of climate action we are seeing across the world, and also unfortunately in our own country in terms of our own actions to reduce greenhouse gas emission. But specifically in the South African government, the Department of Forestry and Fisheries and the Environment and its Climate Change Directorate is frequently interacting with South African climate scientists. So is the Presidential Climate Commission. So we are in a very fortunate position in South Africa in the sense that government at least listens to scientists. That, as you may know, is not the case in all the countries of the world, as we've also seen with the COVID-19 pandemic, unfortunately.
Sure.
So there are very positive aspects. I think generally disaster management in South Africa, water managers, the entire agricultural sector, everybody is aware, at least, of the risks that climate change is posing. But how do you convert that awareness into action? And we distinguish between mitigation action, which is about reducing greenhouse gas emissions, and climate change adaptation, which means preparing for the impacts that can no longer be avoided into the next 20 years for a start, and then deeper into the future. So why awareness is not always leading to action in South Africa and in many parts of the world is, of course, a big question to ponder. I do think that the upcoming United Nations climate change negotiations meeting, the 26th Conference of the Parties in November, the expectation is that this will be a success for a change because there's an enhanced realization of the urgency of taking action against climate change. And I think if the world is going to make a strong commitment in November, collectively, in terms of reducing greenhouse gas emissions, it's going to lead to a huge shift towards investing in the renewable energy sector. I think that is a likely outcome of this meeting. That's an extremely positive aspect. And that can really change the momentum, and we will see stronger climate action taking place across the world and also here in South Africa.
Prof, I'm hoping we can chat again in November. Thank you for a really sobering discussion this afternoon. I'm sure you and I will chat again.
Thanks so much, Simon. Thanks for having me.
No, it was an
absolute
pleasure. Till next time, until November. Yeah, sobering stuff. I think that is absolutely the word to use.